ರಾಮಾಯ ರಾಮಭದ್ರಾಯ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರಾಯ ವೇದಸೆ ರಘುನಾಥಾಯ ನಾಥಾಯ ಸೀತಾಯ ಪತಿಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಸುಂದರಕಾಂಡ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ನಂಬರ್ 51. ಮಾರುತಿ ಕೌನ್ಸಲ್ಸ್ ರಾವಣ. ದಿ ರೆಸಿಟೇಷನ್ ಬಿಗಿನ್ಸ್. ಈವನ್ ಸೋ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಮಾರುತಿ ಇನ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರೆಗ್ನೆಂಟ್ ವಿತ್ ಡೀಪ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್. In the glory of his matchless strength and prowess, he heeded not Ravana, at whose name the worlds trembled in affright. He bestowed no thought upon the fact that he was single and lonely in the midst of millions of cruel Rakshasas. He knew that his words would infuriate the Lord of Lanka, and yet no thought of fear clouded his heart. Ruler of Lanka, His Majesty Sugriva, who holds sway over the monkey world from his throne at Kishkindha, has sent me to you. He regards you as a loving brother and makes kind inquiries of your welfare. The message he has sent you through me are consonant with your good here and hereafter, for he who speaks of them is a great soul and your brother, as it were. They are consonant with the great aims, righteousness, and wealth. So I pray you to pay careful heed to them. There lived on this earth a king famed through the worlds as Dasharatha. His armies have not been matched in renown and valor. Like unto Indra himself in splendor, he was a father to his subjects. His firstborn, the supreme Lord Rama, is endowed with matchless radiance and strength. He is a source of all joy to all beings. He holds in his hands the keys to punishment and reward. He followed in the footsteps of the good and at the command of his father came away from the kingdom to live in the forest of Dandaka, accompanied by his brother Lakshmana and his beloved wife Sita. That paragon of wifely excellence was spirited away from them most cruelly. I did not tell you that she is the daughter of the great soul Janaka, the ruler of the Videhas. Then the brothers came to Mount Rishimukha in their search for Sita and secured the friendship and alliance of our Majesty Sugriva. My king passed his word to Sri Rama to search for Sita and bring him news of her, and on his part he swore to place Sugriva on the throne of the monkey world. Accordingly, Rama slew Vali in battle and gave his crown to Sugriva. Vali is no stranger to you, and that foremost of heroes fell before a single arrow of Rama. Next, Sugriva, true to his word, set about to search for the lady Sita and dispatched his monkey hosts in all directions. They course unimpeded on the earth, through the sky and along the underworlds, and make careful search for her. Some of them rival the Lord Garuda in speed, some take after Lord Vayu, so there is nothing that could bar their resistless might anywhere. Now they call me Hanuman. I am the beloved son of Lord Vayu. I took a flying leap across this 100 yojanas of watery waste to have a sight of my lady Sita. In my close search through the city, I came upon her in your palace. The worlds know you as one of the mighty intellect. The Vedas, the Shastras, and the aims of life hold no secret for you. Boons, rare and wonderful, have you won through the hard-earned tapas. So it ill becomes you to desire the wives of others and carry them away by force. Persons of keen and far-seeing intelligence like yourself will never entangle themselves in the meshes of such acts as are dissonant to righteousness and are productive of great dangers, while they lay the acts at the roots of one's well-being here and hereafter. Should Sri Rama take it into his head to order Lakshmana, and should he set about to bend his mighty bow and let loose his arrows pregnant with consuming wrath, the gods and the asuras, none of them dare stand before them. The worlds hold not anyone who incurred the anger of Raghuvira by offending him and lived to speak of it. So I pray you lay these counsels to your heart, productive of the utmost good to you in the past, present, and the future, and at the same time entirely consonant to the aims of life, righteousness, and welfare. And it will take the form of your leading back the Lady Sita to her Raghuvira. It cost me no end of effort to come upon her. I but await the orders of my Lord Rama as to the course I should adopt hereafter. I beheld my Sita tortured by unspeakable grief and sorrow. Has it never occurred to you that you can more safely rule a terrible five-headed serpent in your lap and fondle it than bring that most chaste and virtuous lady? You may say that she would be of no further use to Rama if you have blackened her fair chastity. Now let me tell you, if you can dine to the full on food mixed with deadly poison and digest it, why? The gods and the asuras dare not call their lives their own if they ever carry this lady to their homes. Is it just, I ask you, to destroy most recklessly the results of your hard-earned tapas, carefully conducted rites and penances, your deeds of righteousness, and your frame of adamant length of years and power limitless that are the visible rewards thereof? But should you say, I hold a boon of immunity from death at the hands of the gods and the asuras through the might of my tapas, you lean upon a broken reed that will pierce your side. Now heed most carefully to what I say. Sugriva is no devata, no asura, no rakshasa, no danava, no pannaga. Hence, how could he keep your life from his dreadful clutches? Again, you may fondly delude yourself with the hope, I have till now perpetrated many a sin, many a crime, many an act of infamy, and I cannot escape from the karma that dogs my heels in punishment. What care I for your good counsels, impotent as they are? Now, should a person have to his account acts of goodness and vice, he does not reap the results of happiness and misery at the same time. Light and darkness do not coexist. Right begets happiness, and the wrong forever begets misery. Again, you may cheat yourself with the sophistry. The Vedas tell us that a man undoes the effects of his sins by fresh acts of righteousness. So the good deeds that lie into my account in the past will make short work of the evil acts committed later on. They will fend me from danger and misery. Alas, it is not so. All your acts of virtue were anterior to your infamous abduction of the Lady Sita. They have exhausted themselves in giving the power, the wealth, the luxury, and the magnificence that you have enjoyed till now. They are barren now and hereafter, but there yet remains untouched the store of your black deeds. It will overwhelm you with every kind of misery, and there is no warding it off. It will lay the axe at the root of everything that you hold dear and near. So, do not seek to rely upon your account at the bank of virtuous deeds in the past. You have overdrawn it and your bank is broken. And you have met with your unrighteous past, and that at no very distant date, and drink of the cup of misery, disgrace, and ruin to its very dregs. Do not slight me and my well-meant counsels as proceeding from an insignificant monkey, for my words are certain and true. So, raise a wall of extraordinary virtue and good while there is yet time to stand between you and your terrible karma. Bestow careful thought on the fate of your 14,000 Rakshasa warriors at Janasthan. Think well of the sad fate of Vali, your captor of yore, whom a single arrow of Rama dispatched to the mansions of death. Revolve most carefully in your mind upon what will be the outcome of the alliance between Rama and Sugriva, and take such steps as will conduce to your utmost good and happiness. I need no help to destroy this Lanka of yours with this Rakshasa millions and the armies that guard them. However, Sri Rama holds no such view at present. He has passed his word before the monkey lords that he would lay low in battle dire him who had dared to lay foul hands upon his lady Sita. The very lord of the Devas is but a dead man should he think of giving offense to Raghava. Then it is but a waste of breath to speak of what will befall others like yourself. You delude yourself with the hope that the Lady Sita is in your hands. But know from me that she is a dread power known as Kalaratri that has come to consume this Lanka to ashes in its wrath. Do not throw around your neck the noose of death named the Lady Sita. Seek the best way to save yourself. See you not that your capital is slowly being burnt down to nothing through the fire of the chastity of Sita and the wrath of Rama? Seek not to destroy in vain your friends, your well-meaning ministers, your kith, your kin, your brothers, your sons, your luxury, your magnificence, and your confiding wives. I am no monkey of the ordinary type. Sri Rama, the Lord of the countless worlds, has deigned to take me into his service. He has entrusted me with a very delicate mission that concerns his lady and has sent me over here. My Lord Rama is the very incarnation of truth, right, compassion, and other noble excellences, and I, his humble servant, cannot speak false. My Lord Raghunatha is capable of dissolving in his aspect of Lord Rudra this universe fashioned of the five elements and the creation thereon, movable and otherwise, and he can recreate them as Lord Brahma. There stands none beside him or above. The Vedas say his name is fame unbounded, and it is so even when he has come down on earth in human shape. At no time, at no place was there anyone who faced Rama in fight and lived to speak of it. For he is like unto Mahavishnu in might. The gods, asuras, kings, yakshas, rakshasas, vidyadharas, the gandharvas, uragas, siddhas, kinnaras and patagas, nay the entire creation itself holds not the equal of Rama. He is the Lord of the countless worlds. He is the King of kings. And is there any shadow of doubt fleeting across your mind that you could offend him most mortally and hold your lease upon life? Again, I say that the gods, the demons, Gandharvas and the Vidyadharas, the Nagas, Yakshas and others like unto them in all the myriads of worlds lay their heads at the feet of Rama as their lord and protector. And is it up to them to face him in dread battle? In short, I lay it down as an impregnable truth that should Sri Rama pass his word to slay anyone, it is but sheer waste for Indra, the lord of Devas, to rescue him by seeking battle with the son of Dasharatha. It matters not that he, Indra, is a ruler of the three worlds. It does not count for anything that he has slain in fight the dread Asuras, Vritra, Namuchi, Bala and the like. It matters not that he has at his back his armies of gods, 33 crores in number. Let it pass. You may say, Lord Rudra, whose single glance of fire consumes the entire universe to nothing, is he not meet opponent to this, your Rama? Now the dread power of his waits upon him only at the time of universal dissolution and not otherwise. You may say, it is but child's play to him who reduced to ashes with the look of his third eye, the powerful god of love and the mighty triad of asuras of the city. Now each and every one of them were black with guilt, and the eye of wrath was potent against them. But it is helpless against Sri Rama, the fountain and source of all noble virtues. Let it pass. Again, you may argue, what of Brahma, the firstborn of Narayana? He, in his turn, is the parent of Rudra. And can he not prevail over Rama? Alas, he too cannot and dare not transgress the great law of causation. Do you say, he is not like unto others, but he is unborn and knows no creator? What can he do single-handedly? Again, if you contend, he and he alone has the power to sound forth the four Vedas through his four mouths. That rare gift is helpless in this case. Why? Take it as my last word to you that any one of these, single or banded together, stand paralyzed before my Lord Rama. Thus spake Hanuman, most fearlessly and undaunted words, entirely unpleasant and hateful to Ravana, under the thin veil of healthy advice. The Lord of Lanka was tall with pride and knew no equal to him in any way, at any time, or in any place. So he rolled his eyes about in blazing wrath, and without wasting a single thought upon Marathi, cried out, Kill for me this wretch of a monkey. Mangalam Kushlendraya Mahaniya Gunapti Chakravarti Dhanunjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.